I want to share with you just a few minutes here this morning from God's Word in the book of Acts chapter 1. The prayer that I have been praying the last few days. I don't exactly know why, but I've just been praying, Lord, make the familiar fresh. Make the familiar fresh. Lord, the things that are so commonplace to us, those of us that have been around church most of our lives, then songs are familiar, God's word is familiar. We kind of know the routine of church life and worship service. Lord, make the familiar fresh. Do something, Lord, and speak to us, Lord, in a fresh way from your word. We read it. Some of you, no doubt, have been reading and started off with maybe a reading plan here at the beginning of the year. But however it is that you are reading God's word, it can become commonplace to you because you have known about it, read it, heard it preached and taught all of your life. So it's not like it's something fresh from the Lord. But I think we all know this is a living book. Amen. And that God speaks to us to our particular time, our particular needs. And sometimes it's through verses of Scripture that are very commonplace to us. Let's read here. First for eight verses of Acts chapter 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. And we know that he's talking about the book of Luke there. All the beginnings of the ministry of Jesus until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. Why designate a year like 2018 as a year of spiritual power? The answer to that is this, that whenever there is weakness, there is the demand and the need for power. And I think that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ today has great power and potential that is unrealized, that we're not seeing the hand of God working and moving in our lives individually or corporately like we could and we should. And so to declare this year needs to be a year of spiritual power is to say, Lord, this is the time that it is needed the most. This is the time that it is needed the most. As I mentioned, one of the things that Marcia and I have experienced over the last few days of this crazy flu and sickness and all the things we've dealt with, one of the things that is hard to kick, hard to get over, is weakness in your body. And, you know, your brain sends the signal, sends the order to the rest of your body, things like get up, take a few steps, do this, do that. And your brain gives the order, but for some reason your body doesn't have the strength to carry out the order. And that's a little bit an awkward situation to be in when you're weaker than you ought to be at my age. Faye said, I was telling her about it before service, and she said, that's how it is for me all the time. Well, I don't look forward to that. I'm believing the Lord for strength. But I do believe that there's a parallel when it comes to spiritual strength, the ability to do. We have, as I said, the brain sends the signal, sends the order, but your physical body, because of sickness or whatever, is hindered, and so there's a weakness and an inability to carry it out. I think there's a real parallel in the life of the believer who is spiritually weak. We have the command of God's word. We know that God speaks to us and tells us, this is what I want you to do. This is my calling and my task for you to accomplish. But whenever there is the attempt to do it, we don't have the spiritual power to get it done, to get it accomplished. Now, when we read the book of Acts chapter 1, when you study the entirety of the book of Acts, this is the birth of the church. And the church, you know, the start, the beginning, the empowering of the church started here in Jerusalem whenever Jesus told the disciples, you need power, you need spiritual strength if you're going to be able to do what I'm calling you to do. He has given orders, he has given the callings and the task for the apostles to fulfill. But Jesus knows that they do not have the strength and the power to do it. Amen. Without him, we can do nothing. Amen. All of your best laid plans, all of your talents and abilities, as good and wonderful as they are, without him, we are nothing. Without him, we have nothing, and we can do nothing except through the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. So the church was born to a group of really ragtag fishermen and people who were not necessarily qualified to do what they were going to be able to do. But when others testified to the accomplishments of those disciples, they recognized these men have been with Jesus. It's obvious they have been with Jesus. They are ignorant. They are unlearned. They're unqualified. They don't have natural abilities, but they have been with the Lord. And it's obvious that they have tapped into something, a divine strength, a divine power. And that's the power that you and I need for 2018. Amen. We need the power of the Spirit of God resting upon our lives. Now, the wonderful thing when you look at this subject from God's word is that God, I think it was Jim Cimbala in his book that said that God is attracted to weakness. God is attracted to weakness. So when you're weak, then God comes with strength. When you are weak, then he is strong. And he gives to you in your weakness an infusion of power that causes you to be able to do what you cannot naturally do. Amen. when we recognize that we are incapable and we are weak in our own natural ability, but we want to obey God, we want to work for God, we want to be used of the Lord, then we have to say, Lord, I'm weak, but would you come with your power and just fill me with your power and your Holy Spirit so that I can do what you want me to do. Praise God. Amen. Thank God for the power of the Spirit of God that we can depend upon. The Apostle Paul describes this in 2 Corinthians 12 and 10. He said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. Now, all those things were negative things. All of those things were, I guess you would say, things that would sap your strength and drain you of your strength. He said, but I take pleasure in all of these things, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Glory to God. So in the midst of your weakness, understand that God is able to come and to empower you, even though you feel weak and incapable of doing what God is calling you to do. If he's called you, he can equip you. He can empower you, just as he did the early church. So can he do the same thing for all of us here at the beginning of this new year, 2018. Do you feel like you need some spiritual power? Do you feel like you need some spiritual strength? Well, it's available. It's available. When you're weak, then he is strong. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that he chooses the weak. He chooses the weak. And God hath chosen. This is Corinthians 1 and 27, 1 Corinthians. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Whenever God is searching and he's looking for somebody that he can use, I believe that God, he sometimes passes over that person that's all self-sufficient and proud and feels like that he can get the job done. And he looks for that person who's just absolutely dependent on God. Lord, I can't do it unless you help me. I can't do it unless you strengthen me. I can't do it unless you empower me. He overlooks all of those that are proud and self-sufficient, and he chooses that individual that is admitting their need of help from God. Amen. And when we admit that need of help from the Lord, then he comes with power. Then he comes with strength. And he comes and he helps us. No matter what it is we're experiencing today, we are facing some challenging times in these last days. But we certainly need to put our trust in the Lord. To those tribes of Israel, whenever the Lord is there in the book of Deuteronomy, he's going through and he's giving to them all of their various gifts and all the wonderful promises that he's giving to each tribe individually. To the tribe of Asher, he says, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. What is he saying? Well, I believe that he's saying that whatever the days bring, my strength is going to be sufficient. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. What a wonderful promise. Because you do not know about tomorrow. You don't know about next week. You don't know what's just ahead. But we have a confidence that God, whatever the day brings, that his grace and his strength is going to be sufficient in the middle of that circumstance or that situation that you might find yourself in. The great hymn that we sing often, great is thy faithfulness. One of the phrases in that song, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So here we are, January the 14th, and you may be feeling spiritually a little bit less than you would like to be and in need of power and strength that comes from God. Well, as your day is, whatever you're facing, His grace is sufficient for that day and that circumstance, and His power is just enough to help you in the needs that you have. Glory be to God. You know, that's really the person that comes to the Lord and gets saved. I've heard people say, wouldn't it be wonderful if that pop star would get saved, or that movie star would get saved? Well, it would be wonderful if whosoever gets saved. But when people say things like, well, if that pop star got saved, then what an influence that they would have. No, that's not the way God works. God don't work that way. God brings salvation to those who humble themselves. God brings salvation to that person, and our ability to be used of the Lord is only as we are willing to humble ourselves before the Lord and admit our need of help from God. And God might not use that person who has prestige and power and influence. He might not use that person, but He might use the common man. He might use the common person who just says, okay, Lord, I'm yours for whatever you want to do with me. And then the Lord takes that unlikely person and raises them up and empowers them and uses them in ways that you can't even imagine. Glory to God. And so that really describes the condition that all of us were in to get saved. If you come to the Lord, it's because you've admitted, Lord, I'm a sinner and I'm helpless to do anything about my sin. I can't save myself. I can't stop sinning. I don't have any power. I have to have something beyond myself. And then God comes with His wonderful forgiveness and His wonderful grace and mercy. And He touches your life and He saves you. Amen. For when you were without strength, in due time, God died for the ungodly. That's the condition that we were in the darkness of our sin. We were in darkness and we were hopelessly lost. And when we humbled ourselves and cried out to the Lord, then He came, praise God, and brought salvation to every one of us. And that's the gift of God. Oh, and what a wonderful gift it is to be saved. Amen. What a wonderful gift it is to know the Lord. So whatever season in your life or your spiritual life that you find yourself in, God is able to empower you for that day and for that circumstance. So none of us know what 2018 holds. We know we're facing a lot of needs in our nation, a lot of needs around the world. There's a crisis even in the church today. Many, many needs. Everywhere you look, there are needs. But for whatever season that we face in 2018, we know that God's power and His strength and His sufficiency is enough for 2018. So we're asking the Lord, Lord, empower us to meet the challenges of this new year. Praise God. And I believe that He would. Wonderful verse in James chapter 1 and verse 17 that talks about the gift of God. The gift of God. Aren't gifts wonderful? Brother Bowman brought me a gift. Some people, they know what you like and what you need. He brought me a gift today. I don't know if this is a belated Christmas or what it is. Whatever it is, it's the A.W. Tozer Bible. And so it's got all the notes and quotations from Tozer. And I just thought, what a wonderful gift. What a wonderful gift. And it's nice to get and receive nice gifts. Over the years in the ministry, I've had people bring me things that honestly I didn't know what I was going to do with it. And I've received it graciously and thanked them for it. And there have been times that I've received gifts that I've just thought, I don't know what to think about this. What am I going to do with this? But The gifts that the Lord gives to us are just what we need. Just what we need. I want you to look at this verse with me from James 1 and 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift, here's the description, every good gift and every perfect gift. Amen. The good gift, now, when you look at that word good in that phrase there, good gift, from the original, it is a word really that means superlative. And it was never very good in English or grammar, so I always have to look everything up and figure it out. But a superlative has an EST at the end of the word. Like, for instance, in November, it was cold. In December, it was colder. And in January, it is coldest. I hope it's coldest. I hope that it's not worse than this in February. But you get the drift of what I'm trying to say here, that it is the superlative. It is the very best. Another example of this would be, I have an iPhone 6 Plus. I've had it for a while, maybe a couple of years. And to me, it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool. It's a great big old phone that I carry in my front pocket all the time. But some of you have an iPhone 8. So my phone is cool, but yours is cooler. And some of you have the iPhone 10. I'm not going to have a show of hands. Some of you have the iPhone 10, and you are the coolest because it's the latest thing. It is the best. Now, that's my best humble way of describing what this good gift is. It is the best gift you could ever receive. It is the best that God has for you. So every good gift is the best gift. Every perfect gift, the word just literally means exactly what is perfectly needed for the moment. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That God gives to you the best gift, and the perfect gift is exactly what you need. Have you ever received a gift and thought, that is like perfectly what I needed? That is exactly what I needed for this particular time. I really needed that gift. That's describing the every good and the perfect gift that comes to us from the Lord. That's the kind of God that we serve. Amen. Who gives to us the best gifts and gives to us the thing that we desperately need, that fits perfectly into our need. Now that brings me to our text. Because as we move into this year of 2018, we need a reminder. I know that this is familiar, but God, make it fresh to our hearts this morning. Make it fresh to our hearts today. Because Jesus told those disciples that they should stay in Jerusalem, wait there in Jerusalem, and not leave until they received power from on high. Amen. Stay there until you receive. My prayer for this year, 2018, is that every one of us, from the children and the young people to the oldest folks here in the church, that we would receive the power of the Holy Spirit in our life in a fresh new way, in an infilling of His power in our lives to meet the challenges of these times that we are living in. Now, just to get a little clearer understanding of this, you shall receive power, He said to His disciples. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth, but ye shall receive power. Praise God. It is the Greek word dunamis. All of this is familiar, but I've been praying, Lord, help us to see how desperately that we need this now, how we need this now in our lives. It is a force. It is a strength. It is a might. It is a divine filling of power that has been promised to every one of the saints of God that wait upon the Lord. You will receive this wonderful power of the Spirit of God. Now, folks, this is not an option. This is not an option. This is not something that we can say, well, that sounds really good, and it's good for some, but maybe not for me. Central to the message of the birth of the church and all that happened at the beginning days and weeks of the church's birth and growth, the central message was they had to wait for the power of the Spirit of God to be able to see this thing take place. And for us to see God's mighty hand working in our life to meet the challenges of 2018, it requires that we be filled with the Spirit, that we be anointed of the Spirit, that there would be a fresh filling of the Spirit, that everyone that is a part of this congregation this morning, God would stir your heart with a desire to be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, he said you'll be witnesses. It doesn't say that you will do witnessing. It says that you shall be witnesses. This is a change in who you are. This is a change in your identity, that you don't just do witnessing, but you have become a witness. And the witness, the word, of course, is a word it's the Greek word martus, which we have our word martyr or martyrdom. We shall be witnesses. Now, the reason why it's important for us to talk about this for a few minutes this morning. Amen. We need to talk about it, but the devil don't want us to. Amen. That we shall to talk about this glorious experience of Pentecost and to talk about martyrdom. What was the real issue here with this first century church? Well, there were hundreds and thousands of first century Christians that literally were martyred. They gave up their life for the cause of the gospel. They paid a tremendous price for the calling and the ministry that God gave to them. Now, we do not know what we're going to face, but we do know that we are living in a hostile environment right now toward the gospel and toward the ministry of God's word. And we need something to face the challenges of these days. We really need something to face the opposing forces that challenge us today. And we cannot accomplish this through politics or through anything that is man-made or of this world. It is only as we are filled with the Spirit and empowered of the Spirit can we receive this power to become witnesses, literally to be able to be something that is able to face the challenge of the times. Amen. And that's what I'm talking about today. A strength for these times. A power for these times. And things are changing, and it's changing quickly in our world. More and more, the church is being ridiculed, and the word of God is being dishonored, and the things that we have held dear are no longer. We don't know what we will face and the challenges that are ahead for the church. And the only way to counter what's going on around us in this world is to be filled with the Spirit. Praise God. To be a church that is filled with the Spirit, that is revived, and that is moving forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we are, then we become witnesses. We don't do witnessing, but we become witnesses. We are able to start to be used of the Lord wherever He leads us, into whatever circumstance that we are in. We are able to proclaim the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This is the promise of the Father to the church. Amen. And I believe that we should be calling on the Lord and asking the Lord to give us spiritual power. Give us spiritual strength in our lives. Let me tell you, it's a bad feeling to be on the floor and not hardly know how you got there and not hardly have the strength to get out of the floor. That's a bad feeling. But it reminds me of the fact, again, of the spiritual parallel, the fact that we are weak, we are in need, we can't do what the Lord is asking us to do unless we have the strength and the power of the Spirit of God in our lives. In a couple of Sundays, we will begin revival services. As we are pursuing those days, I want to ask you to seek the Lord and ask Him to fill you with the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost in days past or years past, wonderful. That's wonderful. But there are new challenges for today, and you need an up-to-date experience with the Lord. You need something that's fresh from Him today to meet the challenges of this year, 2018. I don't know what you will face or I will face, but I do know that there is power and grace that is sufficient. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you have a desire for spiritual power renewed in your heart, in your life, would you just stand up right now? Amen. Across this building. You really recognize you just need something that's new and fresh from the Lord. Amen. As a young person when I got saved, a young person when I was filled with the Spirit, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the wonderful experiences down through the years. But I have to admit today, Lord, these are new days. There are new challenges. And there's a new work and a new ministry that you want to do through us all in this coming year. But Lord, we can't. We just can't do it. We do not have the strength to do it. But Lord, you can provide it. Hallelujah. You can provide it. You can empower your people and empower your church. Praise God.